Get your family vehicles ready for summer driving with early Memorial Day deals at Dobbs. Click on GoToDobbs.com for money saver tire and service deals today. Dobbs, with 43 locations, real deals are always close by.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Time now for the Balloon Party on the Tim McKernan Podcast. Presented by Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers on 101 ESPN.
Yes, yes. Yeah, we'll take another round. Bottle service season, April 30th. Oh.
Welcome to Balloon Party, and it's driven by Munganess St. Louis Acura, Munganess Burkhardt, Alton Toyota. My name is Timothy Michael McKernan. I'm standing across from Jackson Burkett. Jackson, 24 hours ago, I would have described you to the audience as frazzled. Matter of fact, I think I did just that. Today, you seem like you're in a better headspace, and I would say you are calm and ready for today's rain day breakdown of the Cardinals and Tigers.
Yeah, Tim, I would say I have my feet under me more.
I like that.
You know, they say in football, you never want your feet above your ass. And yesterday, my feet were way over my ass. But now, feeling pretty good.
You are.
Well, I have...
Well, maybe the audience will send some texts in to bring you down a notch.
Well, I'm sure they will. Steady your ground around me. Now, yesterday, rain out. But there was a delay. That was like the impetus of a balloon party. Like, oh, it's raining, and the Cardinals are 5 games under .500. Here was the last time they were good, and let's celebrate.
Oh, is that really?
Well, I thought
is that what you're going to do?
No. But, well, I'd love to. Okay. I love reminiscing. But I thought that was kind of where Balloon Party, the great, late, great Joe Strauss formulated.
That's
that
correct.
Was like, oh, it's a perfect opportunity for a balloon party.
Did anybody else use that phrase? Let's deep dive the origin of this show, which, of course, the name came from Joe Strauss tweeting that at the time Fox Sports Midwest was having a balloon party because the Cardinals lost 18-1 and they're showing highlights of the MV3
right.
from a game 10 years earlier. To distract from the loss. But did anybody else use that term balloon party?
It seems like a perfect thing to
Straussian?
Yeah, that he and only he would have, you know.
Fat Bob says, sup, balloon boys. Oh, and he's a dog avatar, too. That's awesome. I don't usually get to interact with dog avatars. You can participate in the YouTube chat. We now have it set up that I just look right over Jackson's head. It's on a monitor, and I can read it here in the... in the studios on 101 ESPN. Jackson, what do you have prepared here for me, for the audience, on Tuesday, April 30th, as we head into the month of May with glorious weather in the St. Louis metropolitan area after poor weather caused the Cardinals and Tigers to be rained out, setting the stage for a twin bill?
Oh, let's play two, Tim.
Amen.
The Redbirds are facing Jack Flaherty today on the first half of the twin bill. I would say Flaherty wouldn't fall in this category, depending on who you ask.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe what highway you take to work. But I asked the question, who would be on the power ranking of former Cardinals who fans would want to see be hit hard or ring up across the 21st century? Kind of the...
Jack Flaherty is absolutely there for a healthy percentage of Cardinal fans. Without question, he is.
Probably, yeah.
And I think he might be at the top of my list. Now, he isn't necessarily mine, but... being cognizant of the pulse of the fan base, I don't even know who would be. There's got to be others. Are you talking about current pitchers or
not just pitchers too? Former Cardinals who have now on other teams
got hit. Okay,
or ring up. I specified that. So who would the Cardinals see? Like some Schadenfreude, especially when the Cardinals
now
play.
Now I follow you. That's a good. I like the question. Flaherty's absolutely live.
Yeah,
314-399-9646 is how you can text in the Air Comfort Service text line. Somebody said Johnny Cueto, but Johnny Cueto has never been a Cardinal. And then this person said, "Oh, never mind, no problem." Hey, you know what? A lot of people make mistakes. I just don't.
For talking across 21st century of any player who's fans who want to see the Cardinals hit hard or strike out, Cueto would probably be.
Cueto
right
would be
there.
Live on that when you included the description of former Cardinal, and it doesn't just have to be a pitcher; it can be a hitter. Schadenfreude on this one goes back. Tino Martinez, that was one.
Yeah, Hayward.
I mean, I guess maybe. I don't really feel like he ever was. Tino was kind of a.
Yeah. Just the fact.
He was just like a nice, kind of quiet guy.
For sure. But he went to Chicago.
I get that. But, you know, I mean, he wanted to be part of something that had never been done.
Yeah.
You know, that's what Eli Drinkwitz is selling down 125 miles down the road, Jackson.
And consider me a consumer. All right. I'm buying.
Tino. And I think sometimes St. Louisans and those who live in the metropolitan area feel like New Yorkers or those in Southern California, the coasts, your favorite parts of the country.
That's right.
Look down on this as being flyover country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think oftentimes that's just not the case. The truth is they don't think about us at all. So I'm from St. Louis. Oh, where is that? It's in Missouri. Where's that?
Right.
It's yeah. Midwest. Tino, however, did embody, what am I doing here? What is this? You call this Italian food? Why are you doing this in this market? That kind of condescension.
Yeah.
So that would be one. Now I got a little more up close. And it's not like he was a bad guy. He just wanted to still be with the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. I don't think he's ever been back for a Cardinal reunion.
No. Ozuna, maybe, but... it would be not like the...
He gave us, though, that catch, right. Like Willie McGee in Game 4 of the 82 World Series, where his outstretched arm, and he caught the ball so well that it landed 15 feet in front of him. So he did keep it in the ballpark, by definition.
The play that keeps on giving.
Amen.
He's worth it for, if just that, if nothing else. You know, NLCS be damned.
Amen. Brett Cecil. Yeah. I think Brett turned his attention to video games while he was with the Cardinals. Yeah. So I'd be surprised if he's still pitching.
Don't know if you're going to get that opportunity.
Flaherty's number one for me. I can't stand him. That's from the 217.
Yep, that's correct.
There you go. Gary Gaetti? Gary Gaetti ever do? What did Gary Gaetti do?
Couldn't tell you.
From the area. And he was a Cardinal. Then, you know, I don't know. I need a follow-up on the Gary Gaetti play. Carlos Martinez? He's not real active.
No, I don't know.
I can't imagine. Get a sense he had a real passion for pursuing.
Does he even play anymore?
Sandy Alcantara?
No.
What did he do?
Yeah, he was just a guy who got traded.
Now, maybe, I mean, some of these names, maybe people are looking at through the Brandy Choate.
He definitely doesn't play anymore.
I was, when you asked this question, I was thinking through the lens of, not because a player didn't play well, but because the player irritated the fan base.
Yes, that's kind of...
And that's why I say Flaherty's there.
Yeah, he probably...
Now, I know he didn't irritate you, and he didn't irritate me. I really liked the guy. Yeah. I mean, I didn't know him well, but I did a few one-on-one interviews with him, and I'm just like, man, this guy, he's a competitor, he speaks his mind, and I don't know, he's kind of, I don't know, it's kind of the kind of guy I'd want on a team, honestly.
Yeah.
But, you know, I know that some people view things through the lens of that which they agree with politically. And if they don't agree with someone's politics, then that person isn't who they're going to like. And I understand that that's the world in which we occupy at this particular moment, Jackson. But whatever. Either way, I view it more through the baseball sense than how somebody interacts. And so, Flaherty was, you know... 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
And that Tino Martinez, I don't know what his politics are, but he wasn't exactly really pleasant and certainly did not enjoy his time in St. Louis. So that's where I'm coming from on the Tino play. And of course, Randy Choate has it coming.
Absolutely. You know, yesterday, Tim, I sometimes go in these Wikipedia rabbit holes and you may think to yourself, oh, Jackson, you're just now realizing this, but that 90s Braves rotation with Maddox, Glavine, and Smoltz,
How is this coming up? I mean, you couldn't be more accurate. And I believe Gary Gaetti, since apparently Gary Gaetti and Randy Choate are today's show topics. Gary Gaetti, I believe, homered off of Greg Maddux in an NLCS game at Fulton County Stadium. Was that game one or two in 96? Somebody will check on that.
You have to remember, I just realized. I mean, I knew that they had their rotation, but like in all in their primes, Glavin, Maddux, and Smoltz. But they were going up against the Yankees, and they were...
Yeah, but the Braves would be the first ones to tell you that the fact that they only won one World Series, because it started in 91, and it really didn't end until the 2000s,
right,
was a monster miss. Yeah. Monster miss. Yeah. Monster miss. It's... I mean, I'm open to this conversation. Team... We got to go back to my pre-2000 thing. I usually like to try to start at 2000 to incorporate both the youngs and the olds. In my lifetime, but if you want to go back to 1990, the team that didn't capitalize on its greatness. I mean, the Oakland A's are in that. I'm going beyond baseball, by the way. I think you can say it about the St. Louis Rams. It was a brief, less, you know, the Braves had... I almost dropped the S-bomb there. I don't even know how. I'm not really all that worked up about this.
You seem really emotional.
Yeah. They had like 15 years, and they got one World Series.
Yeah, right.
But the St. Louis Rams, the Oakland A's, the La Russa, McGuire, Canseco Oakland A's, Dave Stewart. Who else? There are others out there. I'm sure you can throw in an NBA team.
There's been a lot of multiple-time champions in the 21st century, so it's tough to say who's left to putt out there.
Hockey fans would say... I don't know if they would say the Penguins got the most out of the Crosby era.
That's a good one, because they had Malkin,
I feel like
too,
the Red
forever.
Wings, for as great as they were, they could have had more. I'm not talking about recently, of course.
Sure.
I mean, I know they won, but could have won more.
The Dodgers continue to be that team that can always do more.
Cowboys fan. Dodgers is a great play. Yeah. Dodgers is a great play. They Dodgers, as far as recent history in sports goes.
Last 10 years.
Dodgers, I think, is the answer, yeah. Actually. I don't know what else would be.
Yeah, because they've only won one, and there's an asterisk by the one. And for 10 years, they've had not only like the biggest budget in baseball, but on paper, one of the best lineups by far.
Some people say Buffalo Bills. That's a good play.
Yeah.
Boy. I think you can say Bills both in the early 90s and even now.
Yeah.
Let's see. Colby Rasmus and his dad. I don't know if they like have a company softball team or that hasn't capitalized on their opportunities, or if that's in reference to if he were to make a comeback, this person would want to see Colby struggle.
Great tattoos, man.
Well, you know, Colby Rasmus's backwards MLB logo tattoo is the logo of my fantasy baseball team, the Southside Seaman.
It makes me giggle every time.
Get your Southside Seaman merch at TMASTLshop.com.
It makes me giggle every time.
The Blues underperformed considering the talent they had in the 90s. Yeah, I guess what I'm saying, I mean, I understand that perspective. 100%, I get it, and I don't think it's ridiculous. I suppose what I'm saying is, when you're talking about Greg Maddux, John Smoltz, Tom Glavin, you're talking about three of the all-time greats in the game, and they had a bunch of great position players too, mm-hmm. and only get one World Series, and they were all firing at the same time. That's a miss. I know that Cowboys fans and NFL observers feel like the Cowboys left a run out there with the Jerry Jones, Jimmy Johnson thing. You know, Barry Switzer won a Super Bowl, but I get the feeling that his fingerprints weren't necessarily all over the success of that operation.
And
it was more of a, all right, we're just so good, it doesn't really matter who's coaching kind of deal.
Right. And part of my deep dive also sent me to just like generally 90s pitchers, when you had Randy Johnson at the prime of his career, getting everybody out, Roger Clemens, Curt Schilling. It kind of makes sense that guys were like, we might need some help in the old juicing department. Because how are you going to hit Randy Johnson, Roger Clemens, and then the three guys that you got down in Atlanta? 90s pitching, Tim. That's what I spent my time doing.
The New York Knicks. How about that?
Jackson? 90s, like the Ewing era?
I don't know. I didn't.
They kind of had a problem because of the Bulls. The 80s, maybe.
Yeah. Somebody actually said the Bulls, but I lost the text. We're getting so many texts.
I mean, they won six. They've only been to six finals, and they've won all six. So.
But they put the disclaimer that I know it sounds crazy, and then I just lost the text. There's so many texts. What's going on in the YouTube chat? Tiny Peepee, I think Martz would have left, and that would have affected the offense, but I don't think the draft... the offensive players, had he stayed, that hurt the Rams. I guess it's like I'm playing YouTube chat Jeopardy, but I think that's saying Dick Vermeil leaving.
Okay.
I think there may be something to that.
Sure.
Dick Vermeil went and had success immediately after taking a year off. If Randy Carricker were still here, we could probably have a conversation about this. Because Martz was going to be the coach in waiting, and then Vermeil just retired.
Yeah.
But I believe the Cowboys were going after Martz. Mm. And so the Rams didn't want to lose Martz. And so as to what really happened there, I kind of get the sense, honestly, I'd be curious what Randy says. I think he really did retire on his own. I interacted with him. I could be off the, like the day he was moving, I was at his home. It was my first day at KMOV. And they're like, hey, we understand Dick Vermeil's moving today. He's speaking at the MAC. After he's done with his speech, why don't you go over there and ask him if he's all right with you getting video of him moving in his house? You love this story.
It's just,
like the fact that, and then the fact that I'm like, yeah. Like if somebody, like if, you know, the highest high up from Hubbard contacted me to do something like, even like half as asinine, right? I'd be like, I don't know. I guess I'm going to go work somewhere else because I'm not doing that. You know? And then I'm like, sure. And then I remember asking Dick Vermeil, hey, do you mind? I mean, hey, do you mind? I mean, any of us who have moved know it's like the worst
the
day.
The worst. Yeah, it sucks.
And here's a man who just retired, made the decision to do so, is driving back to Philadelphia area.
Oh,
so it's not like he's like, you know, shooting across the state.
No.
And he's packing boxes and some ne'er-do-well who just started in local TV in St. Louis. Like, and that's what I walked up to him at the MAC. I go, hey, do you mind if I get some video of you packing boxes? And I think he's such a nice man. He goes, well, I guess I can't stop you. And I'm like, well, and I look back on it now, a quarter century later, I'm like, well, yeah, you can just tell me no.
Right. Point blank.
And then not only do I show up and Carol Vermeil answers the door and she goes, Dick, there's some guy at the door with a cameraman. What is this?
Fair question.
And I said, well, he said we could. And she goes, oh, she's, and I think she's like, my husband's so nice that he let this intern boy, this tiny little intern boy who's wearing like a $20 suit show up. And all we're supposed to do is get video of his packing boxes to move. And the next thing, I'm doing a Roy Firestone sit down in his empty living room, reliving the regular season game against the 49ers. And I look back on that interview and it's like, I could tell he was giving me the, let's wrap it up.
Yeah,
I,
I'm trying
to
move.
The pro catch was the great. I understand it was a big deal.
Yeah.
But I gotta move.
Did you at least help him like move a like a ottoman or
no,
something?
No, I told him I went to St. Louis U High and I don't do manual labor.
He understood.
He knows that.
The lensman started helping.
Absolutely, I can't do that stuff. I went to St. Louis U High. All right, Jackson's got a potpourri of topics for you. It's Balloon Party and it's on 101 ESPN.
We're right back to the Balloon Party on the Tim McKernan Podcast, presented by Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers on 101 ESPN.
Well, this is Pittle's Tuesday Topics on Balloon Party 101 ESPN. It's a winner. This is what happens when Jackson isn't frazzled. He gives you winners. I make picks, you make money. I make picks, you make money. And Jackson asks questions, and what he does is stimulate the minds of the St. Louis area sports fan.
Yeah, and stimulate the economy.
Yeah, by proxy.
Thank you.
Because I see in the YouTube chat, which is active as the day is long, and we welcome you to participate. I see Preston S1 says, years ago, because we're talking about teams in the last 40 years, because for whatever reason you started watching videos of the mid-90s Atlanta Braves?
Not even videos. I was just in a Wikipedia rabbit
really?
Hole.
Is that right? So you didn't realize how good that group was?
I didn't know that they were all three in their prime. I thought like Glavin was a little out of it.
It was insane.
Yeah.
And don't forget, and I'll leave some position players out, but Chipper Jones,
right.
Fred McGriff, two Hall of Famers
yeah.
At the corners yeah. in the infield. Javi Lopez was a really good catcher. He's not a Hall of Famer. God, who was in that out? Justice was in that outfield.
David Justice.
Ryan Klesko would rake. I mean, not a Hall of Famer, but Marquise Grissom. Yeah. I'm sure I'm leaving people out.
But when you get three guys like that, so every other day, basically.
Oh, it was insane. And then they had Denny Nagel for a while and Kevin Millwood. I mean, those are guys who would be like number two starters here right now, but there they were 4 and 5. Yeah, it was in a moment, you did have an appreciation for it. That is why when the Cardinals went up 3-1 on them in 96, with kind of, I mean, it was a good team, but it wasn't like a great Cardinal team. It wasn't anything that we saw from 2000 through 2011 postseasons around here. That you're going, oh my God, the Cardinals might beat the Braves. It'd be like, you know, Missouri beating Alabama or Georgia, you know, before Missouri got good, that kind of thing. And so somebody is citing the 04-05 Cardinals as being a big miss, talking about teams that had big misses on opportunity. And then Preston S1 in the YouTube chat says, years ago, Dave Duncan was on 101 and said that headed into that 2004 World Series, they knew the Cardinal pitching was in trouble and it was going to have a tough time matching up with the Red Sox hitters. I did not hear that interview, but that is 100% the case. The Cardinal pitching was not the reason why they were there. Yeah. That was Chris Carpenter who got hurt. And then they had some guys who were good, but their offense was so sick. And unfortunately, the offense just wasn't there. They hit in game one, and they were in the mix to win game one. But other than that, that series was, you know, if you're too young to remember the 2004 World Series, imagine the 2019 NLCS, and you'll essentially have the same experience. It was when the Cardinals and Nationals left after game two, and the Nationals were up 2-0, there was not a sliver of me that thought we would see the Cardinals again until the next season. That series was not coming back to St. Louis. Just like when I was leaving Fenway Park after game two, I knew I wasn't coming back for game six. Sometimes you just kind of know. Yeah. And unfortunately, that was the case. Cardinals and Red Sox, 2004 teams play 10 times. I think the Cardinals actually win the majority of them, the series.
Yeah.
But in that case, what are you going to do? You know what I say? What are you going to do?
Bunch of people texting, including my father, saying
Jeff Burkett.
Yeah.
Andre, a delightful gentleman.
Andrew Jones also on that.
That's Andrew Jones. Nicely done.
Yeah.
Andrew Jones could be in Cooperstown when it's all said and done.
And his son plays, right? His son is a highly touted prospect.
Steve Avery's another name. That's a good one. Steve Avery's another part of the rotation. Tim, the funny thing about Ozuna's not catch is that he indeed did not keep the ball in the ballpark. It bounced into the bullpen for a ground rule double. Thanks. That's from Scott's Wrinkled Ballsack.
Did it really? That's an insult to injury there.
I think the insult were the bullpen guys laughing like they were a deaf comedy jam.
If only he played right field, it would probably worked out better for him.
Jackson, what question do you have for Tuesday topics?
Sure. I'm going to use an NBA premise to address
here we go.
To address a wide arcing question.
Oh, gosh, it's exhausting. It's exhausting.
The Timberwolves swept the star-studded Suns.
It's a Timberwolves question, too. It's not even like Lakers, LeBron. It's the Timberwolves. It's Ant time.
Ant-Man. They swept the star-studded Suns team behind a great team performance, but especially from young Anthony Edwards, aforementioned Anthony Edwards. For those who have never heard of him grow up, Anthony Edwards
Hold on a second. Why are you telling people to grow up?
Because that's like what people do. They're like, Anthony Edwards, never heard of him.
Now, how would you feel if hockey fans who this time last year you were saying, yeah, Alex Petrangelo of the Oilers.
But I know who he is.
Yeah, but I mean, you had him playing for the wrong team.
That's all right. I checked the first box.
The man was the first member of the Blue Note to touch the chalice.
And once they leave, they're dead to me, so I don't care. I'm a St. Louisan through and through.
All right, carry on with this nonsense.
Sure. Anthony is being praised for his performance so far, obviously, but he's also receiving love for how he conducts himself in interviews and his perceived leadership. From your experience and perspective, can guys who are young and early in their career be impactful leaders on a team even if they have plenty of vets around them? If so, how much value can that hold? And do you think teams look for these sort of things in drafts and trades? Finally, do any STL athletes across time come to mind when you think young leaders?
Boy, I love this question.
Thank you.
Even though I felt like it was a backdoor way to weave in the T-Wolves Sun series personally.
Not much of a take. No takes. I feel bad for their coach, Finch. He's getting ACL surgery.
Oh, is that right?
Tendon surgery, yeah. Conley.
I think one immediately comes to mind. I'm not saying he's the greatest, but this is just from recent headlines. Think where I'm going with this. Recent headline. St. Louis sports. Team you don't pay much attention to.
Okay. Robert Thomas.
That's a good one. But I mean, at this point, he's been around since 2019.
Alex Petrangelo. David Perron. Shat Deuces.
Why are you just naming a bunch of former Blues?
I thought that was kind of the segment.
No. Your question was young leaders.
Yeah.
So stay on the topic that you started.
Oh, Jake Neighbors.
Yes. I'll tell you this. I think it is an invaluable skill. I think it's an invaluable skill. And one of the reasons why I describe it as invaluable is I don't think there is a metric to track it.
Or a way to teach it.
You just either have it or you don't. Yeah. I think perhaps you can learn to not be an S disturber.
Sure.
But I don't think an S disturber can suddenly become a leader unless said S disturber experiences the transition, which will take time to go from, because I kind of get the sense that the Randy Moss that Bill Belichick and Brady had in 2007 is a hell of a lot different than the one that Rams fans saw in the, I guess it would have been, was that January 16th, 2000, Jackson?
With the Vikings?
The Rams played the Vikings. It was. You don't need to look it up.
I was mooning.
You know, it's possible January 15th. Oh, you were mooning the crowd.
Oh, you brought up Randy Moss and the Vikings.
Oh, boy, if you're on YouTube, what a treat that was for you. Yeah, so I think it can happen as far as young leaders. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't think you necessarily stand up and start making speeches.
Sure.
But it's the way you go about it.
Yeah, and lead by example.
Carries weight, 100%. Yeah. Lead by example.
Because like Yachty is a great lead by example.
Yeah, and in 2006, even though he was only in his second full season with the Cardinals, when he hit that home run, I know people were like, man, the young Yachty or Molina, just like this guy's, he's just a gangster. I mean,
right.
he is so good. He is a baseball gangster.
Yeah.
Mentally tough. He will compete with anybody, just loves to compete. And okay, it's the ninth inning tie game. Winner goes to the World Series. I'm not freaking out here. Let me go yard real quickly.
Right.
And send this thing to the bottom of the ninth with Adam Wainwright out there.
His battery mate, Adam Wainwright, also in his pretty much his first time as a closer. Another guy in 06 who's a prime example of a young leader.
Yeah, I don't know on the lead. I get it. I don't know if he would consider himself. I'd be curious on that. Because a lot of those guys who are in that bullpen, credit loyal Bloom Party listener, Jason Isringhausen, of kind of guiding him. Because he got hurt, which is why Wainwright became the closer. And to his credit, stuck around and like kind of mentally got those guys through that. Because they had a bunch of young pitchers on that team.
Yeah.
That, you know, didn't really do much afterwards, honestly.
Sure.
Josh Kinney, Tyler Johnson.
Braden Looper
had been around. I think he was on the 90. I don't know. I feel like he was on maybe the 03 Marlins that won the World Series because he was with the Cardinals in 98. Anyway, Jackson, no, it's a good question. And you were able to ask a good question all while tying in Ant Edwards.
Anytime I can talk Ant-Man, I'm happy to.
Yeah.
Kerry Davis was wrong about him.
Now, hold on a second. You're at Radio Wars with Jamie Rivers, and now you're going after Super Bowl champion Kerry Davis?
I love Kerry Davis. But Matt Rocchio,
you're holding him accountable now for an Ant Edwards take.
Matt Rocchio said in like the next five, maybe it was 3 or 5 years that Anthony Edwards will be an MVP candidate. Kerry shorted it, and it looks like right now Ant-Man's playing like an MVP candidate.
I think Kerry Davis and Jamie Rivers are going to walk in here, and they're going to be so hyped up. They're going to take you out in about 2 seconds, and then just out of boredom, they're going to come after me, and I'll be cowering
behind
this dais.
They need two former pro athletes to take me down. I'm a lot of man.
Would you just do a little Shooter McGavin point at the camera?
Yeah, well, I was just letting people know, sending the message.
How much do you want to bet regarding YBM? Please get me into the UVR and pay me appropriately so I can show you the non-leadership.
I didn't understand a single word of that. The YBM?
I just read what's in the teleprompter.
Okay.
Action Jackson will never make it to the fast lane. That's from the water boy.
They won't let me. All they do is they use me for clout, and I never get a chance to go on the show.
Are you saying that the fast lane is clout chasing by talking about you?
Sometimes. Sometimes. They're getting some of my pop.
I just saw in the YouTube chat, Sam Gradford couldn't lead a team through Castaway Kids.
He would not be an example of a young leader. Even though I like Sam Bradford.
I just glanced up at it, and I'm like, oh, they're talking Sam Bradford. Sam Bradford couldn't lead a team through Castaway Kids.
Tiny
Pee-Pee says, please come through that door, Rivers. You're ready.
I do it sometimes to him, and he says, you only should have your hands up if you're ready to use them, and then I drop them immediately.
Smart move. I imagine Jamie Rivers' entrance music is Stone Cold Steve Austin's glass breaking. God, I would love that.
I don't watch much wrestling, but
right there, I felt like that was kind of a condescending, those of you who do watch wrestling, tee hee hee, you're beneath me. That's what that comment came off as.
I don't
know. Just so you know.
Even though I do believe that, I don't think I was conveying it there. but I do believe it.
All right. Do you believe that's what Jackson was saying? YouTube chat active, talking Castaway Kids and the Rams' number one pick in 2010.
Nice.
And then also the Air Comfort Service text line, 314-399-9646. This program is called Balloon Party, and it airs on 101 ESPN.
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
We're right back to the Balloon Party on the Tim McKernan Podcast, presented by Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers on 101 ESPN.
Welcome back. This is Balloon Party 101 ESPN. It is presented to you by Munganess, St. Louis Acura, Munganess, Burkhardt, Alton, Toyota. Timothy, Michael, McKernan, Jackson, Bennett, Burkett with you until 11 o'clock. And it's a program that has a very active YouTube community on the 101 ESPN YouTube channel. Tiny PP, Frick James, and John Scores are in there talking about the Pussycat Dolls.
Oh, nice.
It's not the same since the girl from the Pussycat Dolls left the show. She was easy on the eyes. That's from John Scores. Is he talking about Nicole Scherzinger?
Mm. Is that the lady from that band?
Oh, you hesitant to say Pussycat Dolls?
No, if you can say it in that context, of course. Pussycat Dolls.
Right. Look at you. You're all grown up and you're all grown up.
Margaret Qualley's character in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood was named Pussycat.
She hasn't done much since that picture, am I right?
She's done some things. She's done some things. She's great.
You're a fan.
Yeah, Sydney Sweeney's in that movie, by the way.
And I didn't realize that.
Yeah, she's one of the Manson family. There's a lot of people in that. Ethan Hawke's daughter's in it.
Yeah, we'll talk more Nicole Scherzinger coming up. But in the meantime, Jackson has this Little Piddles Tuesday topics that you can get involved
in. That's
right. The Air Comfort Service text line welcomes you. Grape Ape Auto Detailing is in there, and I love that guy. That's my guy. 314-399-9646. Let me see what he says. I don't think Action Jackson knows what clout means. That's what the Grape Ape Auto Detailing says.
I do, but it's okay.
Would you like to tell Grape Ape so he knows that you know?
Just kind of building up social currency. You know, the more people know you, know of what you do, you build up some clout. And so in order to get...
So Grape Ape Auto Detailing might be theorizing that you're trying to engage the fast lane to get clout for yourself, like poking the beehive. And I always say, and of course this is metaphorically speaking, because literally it's not possible, never punch down.
Yeah, it's true. I think just intrinsically...
But you're not going to get Kerry Davis or Jamie Rivers to engage in your clout chasing because they don't need you.
Right. I think intrinsically, though, they're jealous of us because not only do we do 1 hour of midday, but right. We also do three hours.
Dreams of.
We do 3 hours on HD2 near a bathroom. And I think that's what...
Okay.
I think that's what they're jealous of.
Okay, I didn't even realize.
Like, that. You do drive time on a major station, you know, 2 to 6. We do drive time on HD2.
That's right.
And, you know, sometimes our show doesn't go on the air and, you know, camera issues or what have you, flushing noises. And that's it makes people jealous. And, you know, jealousy is a bad
going
look.
On here. Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. Sounds like Jackson is indeed cloud chasing. Jackson, what's our next question on Tuesday topics?
Tuesday. In sports media news, Jason Kelce will now be a part of Monday Night Football's pregame show.
I think that's a good hire.
Yeah, good. Couldn't agree more, Tim. Along with more news, the longtime CBS stalwart Phil Simms and Boomer Esiason are hitting the bricks to usher in Matt Ryan. Do you see a continuing trend of former athletes joining traditional sports media and being thrust into big stages at the start of their broadcasting career almost haphazardly? In your opinion, does that experience of playing the game at the pro level outweigh broadcast talent? What's the sliding scale for that? And do you think networks care about it?
I'll answer the last one first. No. I think in particular in 2024, but I think this could have been the case decades ago. I just think you're seeing more acceptance of it and perhaps more expedience with it now, that if you have a personality And I mean not just like a personality in the abstract sense, like most human beings have a form of a personality, but I'm talking about a personality like a Jason Kelsey,
sure,
gregarious personality or quick wit, whatever it is that you may look at. I'll call it the Charles Barkley model.
Yeah.
Then you go, oh, we got a good one. Let's put him in there. Peyton Manning is one that would be an example. While he was playing, you're like, this guy will be great at broadcasting. The Matt Ryan thing surprises me a bit. I don't really watch that show all that much. I know he was doing some broadcasts this past year. He was doing both CBS Sports Network and filling in at times on NFL Today. That kind of surprises me, but at the same time, I haven't seen much of him but while he was playing, doing interviews, to think one way or the other. Manning transcended being a part of the Colts or Broncos, and he'd do Saturday Night Live and commercials. You could sense it. I mean, I was wrong. I never thought Brady was going to actually do the Fox thing. So maybe I'll double down. I just don't think it's going to go well.
Yeah.
I'm shorting it all day long.
I think the reception will not go well. I think
there were some on social media who said,
right, that kind of thing. But like, obviously what he does on the broadcast is subjective, but the reception to it, like when you are that great at something that's undeniable and objective, like being a football quarterback, and then do something that's subjective, people are going to want to tear down.
Peyton Manning is that guy. And I know Brady was the better of the two.
Yeah.
But
you got to seek out Manning's thing, though. You know, there's another option.
But okay. Let's say Manning was with Kevin Burkhardt.
Okay.
We'll go apples to apples. Who do you think would be better?
Manning.
Yeah.
100%.
See what I'm saying? See,
totally.
You know it.
Oh, of course.
I mean, you're one of the best broadcasters in the area.
Thank you. No, that was important. I needed that.
Well, I mean, it's credibility.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing if somebody who doesn't have the game you have were to say Peyton Manning would be better than Brady. Well, they'd go, what do you know? You never played HD2 radio.
That's right.
Or never, 1 hour on a midday.
You were never the man in the arena.
Or thought that Alex Petrangelo was, you know.
That was a clerical mistake. I keep my own stats. Keep my own stats, and I must have mistyped. Or my intern mistyped.
Yeah, without a script, you would never know where Alex Petrangelo was playing. I got to tell you, I think it's the right move. I will be more apt to watch where a personality that I find to be amusing or is not take-smithing.
Sure.
Like, kind of, like, I'm not all that interested in NBA regular season discussion. I'm not anti-NBA. It just doesn't really intrigue me. I'm not all that interested in most MLB regular season discussion, minus the Cardinals. But J.J. Redick kind of doing what he is doing.
He's great.
Kind of the anti-take-smith.
Yep.
That intrigues me.
Yep.
Oftentimes I've said it, so this may be redundant, but one more time, you finna hear it, and it's the following. I want to hear from or read from someone whose opinion I do not know right when I hear the topic. That bores me. Oh, the Cowboys lost. I know what's going to pop up on ESPN the next morning. Stephen A. Smith walking through his house with a cowboy hat on, smirking. Oh, and then on Fox, it'll be Skip Bayless, like, doing some performance art, like lighting something on fire because he's mad.
Trash can got in the way.
Right. You know.
Yeah.
Not interested. I loved Joe Strauss because Strauss didn't really care if people liked it. He wrote what he thought, and then he would back it up with either quotes or some research. And he wasn't writing for likes or broadcasting for likes. That, to me, is tired as F.
Yeah.
I caught myself. I didn't want to use the F words. I know kids are in the car today.
I think one example of former athletes becoming broadcasters and not working out too well is what Fox has got going with their college football pregame show Kickoff.
Oh, I bet they've loved the agents' buyout clauses on that.
Like, it's just not a good show. And like, yes, they all played.
2005 USC thing, or the delightful, personable Urban Meyer.
Yeah, Brady Quinn. It's just not like, those are great players in college, but I don't.
20 years ago.
Right.
That one baffles me. I mean, I just don't watch it.
Yeah.
Like the one time they're at Columbus or Ann Arbor for the Michigan-Ohio State. Although I guess they won't have that anymore because now that's CBS.
Yep.
CBS has to be thrilled about having the Big Ten instead of the SEC. God in heaven.
Nebraska, Iowa.
Jesus. Mary and Joseph. But I'm always watching the ESPN, and I love it. So yeah, I'm like, going, oh, this sucks. It's the same thing with the Fox. I watch Bradshaw and Howie Long and Jimmy Johnson and Menifee. Who am I leaving out? I'm leaving somebody
Michael
else.
Strahan.
Michael Strahan.
Tony Gonzalez pops up.
Yeah, he does pop in there.
Jay Glazer does the sideline reporting injury stuff.
Right. Yeah. So I'm not like, oh, let me see the fake laughter going on in the CBS one. I'm just not interested.
They're so cold too. They're always out there and they're freezing their asses off.
That is that. So I don't worry about it. I'm just like that. But it, same thing with the NBA thing.
Yeah.
Plenty of people, I think, if they're going to turn off the game if it's on, but if they go and they happen to catch the pregame, postgame, or halftime show with
TNT.
Shaq and Charles and Kenny the Jet and Ernie Johnson, they're like, oh, I'm going to watch this.
Right.
Especially, so that's a win. And I think you could have that with Jason Kelsey. So I think it's a great hire. 10:51 in St. Louis. Clarkson Jewelers time check. This is Balloon Party 101 ESPN.
We're right back to the Balloon Party on the Tim McKernan Podcast. Presented by Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers on 101 ESPN.
Welcome back. Final segment of Balloon Party for the day. Tim McKernan, Jackson Burkett with you. If you miss anything, go back and podcast it. Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers podcast on the 101 ESPN app. And you can subscribe to the TMA STL app and the TMA STL podcast. And you get all these podcasts plus the Tim McKernan Show podcast. And Jackson and I might be doing one of those here in a matter of moments. TBD. TBD. QFTA. You can send any questions, comments, hate mail to T McKernan at InsideSTL.com. Along the lines of the Jason Kelsey broadcast hire, Phil Sims and Boomer Esiason being out on CBS, Kelsey going to ESPN, and then Matt Ryan replacing those two gentlemen on NFL Today, the NFL Today. We got this text, Jackson. Eli Manning has really surprised me. I thought he was a boob when he was playing, but he's much more entertaining than I thought. That's from the 314. Allow me to enter this into discovery. Eli Manning's broadcast career success is solely reliant upon being his older brother's foil. Discuss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's something to that.
He needs to be a foil.
Yeah.
He can't be the A.
Yeah, he's always kind of the Robin to the Batman.
Nice.
But you know, and he also can kind of come over the top because...
But it's great.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that that's what he is.
Right. But he can also come over the top with like, because obviously Peyton is a more accomplished quarterback, but then Eli can just say, yeah, but I beat Tom Brady twice. And like probably one of, if not two of the best Brady Patriots teams. So it's, you know, he kind of has his ace in the hole where he's like, I have credibility, you know, don't worry. I'm a really good quarterback as well, but I've always been in the shadow of my older brother. And I think it's a comfortable place and he knows how to play that.
It's perfect because Peyton's obviously like a type A and Eli is like the Dustin Johnson kind of personality.
Right. Where it's boy, just, get a look at this guy.
Yeah. Just like, yeah, I won two Super Bowls and I really don't really have much use for playing football or knowing about it. But yeah, I beat two of the great Patriots teams.
Yep.
So there's my juice.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's kind of John Madden and Pat Summerall were the goats. That's from the 314. Yeah, if Jason is still at NFL Network when Travis retires, could we be seeing a Thursday Night Football Kelsey cast?
He's
it's a nice
ESPN.
Play. He's, for the record, he's ESPN. Travis just signed with the Chiefs yesterday. Jason signed with ESPN. Travis signed with the Chiefs.
Yeah, I bet they keep doing that podcast for a little bit, though. I would say they keep it running.
I enjoy that podcast.
I do, too. They had a little Dickie on the other day. It was hilarious. I think
enjoy
they're great.
That podcast. What's your favorite podcast, Go?
I'm a big Ringer guy. Bill Simmons Pod.
Association
of Movies, and that's like my perfect.
Yeah, that's everything
my,
for
my life. So a bunch of the Ringer podcasts I really like listening to. Rewatchables, Bill Simmons Pod, Ryan Russillo, love Russillo. Life Advice.
Tim McKernan Show.
I listen to every millisecond of it for the last 3 years, and I'm a big fan.
Is that right? I'm going to do this right here. I got a minute left.
Okay.
I was thinking about typing it out. I get requests, I guess, whatever, you're on some of the emails too, to go back into doing interviews like I did when I started that thing. I guess, God, it's almost 7 years ago. Holy crap. And I loved doing the interviews. And there was a podcast, maybe it was like Big Cat on Barstool, and he did it with A-Rod. But they did like a season of interviews. Because like doing it 52 weeks a year and having a great interview every week, we did it. I had a great producer named John Seymour, wonderful producer. Some of you in the audience may know because he used to work at 101 years ago.
Yep.
And he could do it, but God, you run out after a while. But if I could like do 10, and I was just going to like type in a spreadsheet, like I want to talk to Bill DeWitt III. I want to talk to Eli Drinkwitz. I want to talk, you know, like just get the best, and have them come in, mm-hmm. same, like the video studio, so then we can have it on social media. People can watch it on YouTube. Who would the names be? Like, I love those kinds of conversation, like a sound story kind of conversation, yeah. where it's topical, but they're also... You know what I mean? You follow me on this? I love that stuff. But what turns me away from it is having a lot on my plate, number one. But number two, doing it 52 weeks.
Oh, it's not sustainable.
It's not fair to the producer. And the expectations of the audience just can't be met. It's impossible. So many podcasts start out with great guests. And then if you become guest reliant, it's just not sustainable.
Right.
Because there's so many damn podcasts. But if I could do like 10 episodes, who would the guests be?
Mo. Would certainly be one of them.
I would actually go build it with a third.
I think you do both.
You can, but I mean, you know, I mean, certainly can. But build it with a third is the one I'm really, really, really more interested in.
Yeah.
Because I don't think Mo's calling all the shots. I know he's the bad guy in the eyes of the public, but I don't think he's calling all the shots. Drinkwitz.
Army.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. Yeah.
Army.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good play. What was I saying? I had another one in there that I just said and I forgot.
I don't know. Das Gates?
I don't think there's a lot there right now. I mean, it's not a shot at him. I'm just talking, like, give me the 10 best in St. Louis metropolitan area sports.
Waino?
That's a great play.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's, like, always super accessible, too. I mean, he's on, or he was on every... Right. Anyway, it's 11:01. I got to go. I'm out of time. Jackson, wonderful, wonderful day today on Little Piddles Tuesday. Topics, BK and Ferrario are up next. For Jackson Burkett, I'm Tim McCurtain. This has been Balloon Party on 101 ESPN.
You've been listening to The Balloon Party on the Tim McKernan Podcast. Presented by Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers on 101 ESPN.